If you look at the first couple of, well, that's not true. We're going to start in verse 3, and we'll see how far we get, but really truthfully, it kind of goes down to the end of the chapter. Ever had anybody complain about you? Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about your wife. And anybody pointing fingers should be cautious, at least, if not. Anyway, yeah. What about anybody ever complained about you because of what you do for Christ? Yeah. Ever have anybody call the police on you because you were knocking doors? And we were knocking doors. Now, this is back when we lived in Utah. We took a bunch of people to Bullhead City. You know where that is. And we went across the river to Laughlin. You know where that is. And there was this big condominium complex. And we had some people knocking doors in that condominium. They went through the whole thing. And if, by the way, if you're in a condominium complex going door to door, go to the manager last. And they did. And the manager said, well, you're not allowed to be on the property. And they said, okay, we'll leave. But praise the Lord, they've been able to talk to everybody before that. And we've had worse situations than that. You should be polite, of course, and you should keep the law as much as you can. But anyway, it would be a blessing. It would be a reward in heaven. The Bible talks about this in Matthew. If folks were to persecute you for the Lord's sake. Amen? In fact, Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. If you've ever been to a door and had somebody laugh at you or yell at you or kick you off their porch. I'm starting to think of stories and I haven't got time to tell them. We used to have a ministry in a nursing home. And if you've heard this story before, bear with me, I'll be quick. And we used to use a podium that the Mormons had put in the nursing home. They had it there. We would use it every Sunday. We came in one Sunday and the podium was gone. Nursing home manager says, the Mormons don't want you using their podium. And we kind of thought, well, praise the Lord. Somebody knows we're in here doing something good. They're trying to stop us. The devil doesn't like it. Amen? So the guy, there was another fellow and I, we took turns. He would come 1 week. I'd come 1 week. He says, no problem. I'll build a podium. The trouble is, he's a little short guy. And so he built a podium, and I had to use it like this. It was a podium for a 5 foot tall person, not a 6 foot tall person. But anyway, no, if the devil comes, sends somebody against you, I just got to tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then it makes you cry if you think about it very long. Someday, somebody that you knocked on their door and they threw a fit and kicked you off their porch or yelled at you or whatever, they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and they're going to be cast into hell. And for all eternity, they're going to be thinking, somebody came to my door and could have kept me from this horrible place and I refused. So folks, we got to keep doing what we do. Amen? So what you see tonight is another attempt to stop the work. And I'm not going to go through all the history. I'm not going to read all the verses. But I will read a few in Ezra chapter 5. Beginning in verse 3. And we read last week about how they rose up in verse 2. And they began to build. They began to serve God again. That's right. Amen? That's what we ought to do. The king says, oh, you can't do that. The king of heaven says, yes, you can. And so they started building again. And so now let's see what happens in verse 3. by the way, God was helping them in verse 2. You want to know that. At verse 3, it says, at the same time came to them Tatnai. This guy is a Persian governor. He's the governor on this side of the river. That's on the west side. And Shethar Bozni is an officer that kind of helps Tatnai and their companions, there's some more of them, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? That's an interesting phraseology in verse 4, by the way. That's the enemy saying that. Verse 5, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease. till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, thank you tonight that we have the Word of God. And so many years ago that this story of the rebuilding of the temple still has relevance in our life. Help us to see some things in it tonight. Help the young people that are here to understand it just as all of us should. And to ask that question, what are we doing for the Lord that the devil might try to stop? And we ought to be doing something for God, many things for Him, serving Him, so that one day there will be a reward in heaven. And so that between now and then, the devil would like to stop us if he could. Help us to live that kind of a life that serves God. Bless us in this time we spend, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've got these two fellows that write this letter. We're going to read a little bit of that a little bit later on. But they ask two questions. What gave you the authority to do this, and who are you? Well, let's ask that question. What gives us the authority to spread the gospel? Got a verse? That's the one I was thinking of. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Seems to me like somebody in this room stenciled that on our wall. Yeah, who could that be? Amen? Yeah, we've got that on the wall back there. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28 is pretty good too. The Lord says to baptize and to disciple. And I won't quote the Great Commission to you right now. But who gave us the authority to do what we do? God did. Who gave you the authority? What gives you the right to say that someone's going to go to hell? Why, who do you think you are? Just a student of the Bible, amen? Just reading the book. I did not come up with the hell idea. It's not an idea. It's the truth, and God's the one that documented it. And the authority we have, folks, this book is our authority. That's important. We don't talk about this a whole lot, but if you've ever heard of the word cult, ever heard the word cult? A cult is a group that has some other authority. Like the Mormons have got the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, or the Jehovah's Witnesses have got Russell and the things that he wrote, or the Catholics have tradition. That's their authority. Folks, our only authority is the Word of God. You're too quiet. That's exciting to have that authority. I remember the day, it was in Sunday school in Utah, when God opened my eyes to something. I'm going to say it. It's simple. You'll say, oh, I knew that. Pastor, what took you so long? But do you understand that the local church is like us, the local churches, are the only ones with the authority to conduct missions? Acts 15, we're the only ones with the authority to dispense the gospel. We're the only ones with the authority to baptize. We're the only ones with the authority to disciple. The local church, not the universal church. Don't think about that. The local church. You and I have an authority that other organizations don't. Someone says, well, there's some great fraternities or social organizations. Couldn't they do that too? God did not tell them to do it. He told us to do it. When you get saved, oh, I'm going to get some answers on this one. What's the first thing you think you ought to do when you get saved? The first thing you think you ought to do? Mark. Praise the Lord. I like that one. Okay, what's the next step? Tell somebody you got saved. And the truth is, when you get saved, most of the time when I hear people get saved, one of the first things they will say is, oh, I need to tell so-and-so. What else? Serve the Lord. How? Okay, go to church. Okay, just go. Ah, there we go. Get baptized. Why do we get baptized? Be baptized, every one of you, the Bible says. That's Acts 2:38, I believe. So we're to be baptized. And what happens to you when you get baptized? You become part of a local church. If you were to... If the United States, back in World War II, when the war started and the U.S. was attacked, I think I lost Eva. When the war began, the recruiting offices were full of people that wanted to serve in the military. And they had lines outside the door waiting for people to get in the army to fight for our nation. Because they loved our nation. They wanted to defend our nation. There ought to be lines of saved people wanting to get in churches. Amen. Wanting to serve God, because that's even greater than our nation. And so what I'm looking for some answers here, when you get saved, the first thing you need to do, in no particular order, but let's just take several things. You certainly ought to start, you ought to get baptized and become a member of a church. You ought to be reading your Bible and praying every day. And you need to grow, and that's how you grow, is by taking in the Word of God. And you keep growing and growing and growing, and years go by, and you look back, and you won't believe how far you've come. Because God changes us with the very same Bible that gives us authority. Okay, well, I got to get back to Ezra. So, the first question is, what gives you the right to do this? And the answer is, God told us to, in the Bible. Why are you at my doorstep? God told me to come to you in the Bible. And I do believe whatever doorstep you come to, God put you there. And the more doorsteps, the better. And then I like this next question. In verse 4, what are the names of the men? Let's paraphrase that. Who are you? Let me ask you this. Are we willing to be identified with Christ? If it was illegal to go to church, would you still go? Amen. People here have. Praise God, our governor had the wisdom to say that a religious assembly was essential. And we just kept on assembling. Amen. But I tell you what, there's some places even right now where people are being persecuted for assembling. And then there are nations where the assembly can get you in prison or even a death sentence. People in the Middle East, they go there from the Philippines. This is 30 years ago that was happening. They go to the Middle East to serve and have a job, and they would have church services, and the Arab country says, you cannot worship Christ, you must worship Muhammad, and you must be an Islamic person, and they would meet, and then these people would just disappear because the devil hates the gospel. Are we willing to be identified with Christ? When my sister found me a couple of years ago, she gave me the names of some people. And I wrote a letter to one of them that lives in Texas, and I told her, I'm a born-again Christian. I never heard back from her. Now, that may not be the reason, but I think it might. Folks, just identify with Christ. Amen? Who are you going to be ashamed of, Christ or somebody that doesn't love Christ? So who are you? Are you willing to be identified? See, here's the thing, though, in verse 5, the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not, Tatnai and Shethar-Boznai, they could not cause them to cease. Oh, there's another question. What could make you quit? You know what makes some people quit? Inconvenience. It's too far. It's too long. I'm too busy. I need this. I need to work. I need that. What would make us stop? What should the answer to that question be? Somebody say it. What should the answer to the debate? Say it again.
Nothing.
Nothing. Amen? Is God, can you stop God? No. Okay, if you're serving God in His will and you decide to keep on serving, praise the Lord, He can keep you serving, can't He? You know, somebody said this a long time ago, and they said that the measure of a person is what it takes to stop them. And you'll find in the military and history, they'll talk about units that endured horrific casualties, but they accomplished the mission. And they get great honor because the enemy couldn't stop them. Can the enemy stop you? Has the enemy stopped you? You see what's happening here. It's a time to identify. These are some pretty good questions. So there's going to be a letter written here, and it starts in verse 8, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll tell you kind of what happened. In verse 8, I want you to see something else. They start this letter. Now, this king, Darius, is a good fellow. I don't have the historical notes about him here, but you might read up on him sometime. Not such a bad guy. And so they sent a letter unto him in verse 7. Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God. I wonder how they knew he was a great God. Oh, here's another question. Can people look at you and I and know there's a great God? Can people see what we do and hear what we say and know there's a great God? Ought to be able to, amen? Is our life pointing that direction? Somebody's was. They knew he was a great God. By the way, he's the only God. Which is builded, this house is builded with great stones. I just would remind you, stonework is hard, and moving big stones is a lot of work. You ever think that God called you to an easy job? Maybe not. Maybe he called you to do something hard. Does God ask people to do something hard? Noah, build an ark. Whew. Wow. Yeah, sometimes it's hard. Great stones. They've got some hard work going on here. And timber is laid in the walls. And this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands. I'd like to have it said about us in our church. The work goes fast on and is prospering. Can God do that? Amen? Well, not if we don't serve. Not if we won't be identified with him. Not if we don't obey his authority. Not if we let something stop us. But these folks are on the right track. And the train's moving on down that track. And they're doing pretty good. So he goes on. He says in verse 9, "We asked those elders and said unto them, who commanded you to build this house and to make up the walls? We asked their names also to certify thee." In other words, we want you to know who's doing this. Well, that's okay because God knows too. And I've told you too many stories about Maryland, but you know, I'll just remind you that just before we built, a very powerful attorney threatened to sue our church for $500,000. And I've mentioned to you the lesson I learned from that. You're just as safe when the enemy is 100 miles away as you are when the enemy is right outside the gates, because God's the one protecting you, not the distance. So the enemy's on the phone threatening to sue you. That didn't change God, did it? Nope. So he says, you know, we ask them their names, and I said, who commanded you to do this? And we wrote those names down. Yeah, we're going to get those guys. Yeah, sure. Verse 11, and they returned us an answer. Listen to this. This ought to be our answer. Who are you? Look at verse 11. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. Amen? Can you say that? Young people, can you say that? Servants. Well, Pastor, I'm too important to serve. You're not more important than God. In fact, you're not more important than anybody. Every now and then, during the daytime, things will come, will arise, issues will arise in the restrooms. And Mr. Mendez takes care of them sometime. I've taken care of one or two. Mr. Dahlman takes care of 10 or 20 probably. It's okay. It's God's house. We're okay with that. Amen? I can get my hands dirty. It's not a problem. So, but you're the pastor. Yeah, I know, but I've got hands and I've got feet and I can pick things up and I can wipe things off and whatever. Are you a servant of God? You're still too quiet. We ought to be able to say what they said. Honestly, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. And build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. Verse 12. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. That's really a sad, poignant verse, because what they're saying is, the reason we're having to do this is because of the sins of our fathers. That's okay. Whether you're serving God because of the sins of your fathers or whether you're serving God because things have been going wonderfully, it doesn't really matter. Just serve God. Whatever you're going to do, amen? Amen? You know, if you're in a church of 10,000 or a church of 10, serve God. Amen. It doesn't matter. They are admitting that they're the ones that were at fault. And then they talk about the vessels. I won't get into that too much, but those vessels have been talked about before, and they were preserved by God and sent back by Cyrus, and And then in verse 16, Sheshbazzar laid the foundation. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. And verse 17, now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem. And let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. And I got bad news for Tatnai and Sheshbazzar. Bosnai. Yeah, the king said do it. But I got good news. Our king said do it. Amen? I wrote down these questions. I'll read them to you and we'll be done real quick. Four questions. Who are we? What's an honest answer to that question? We're either servants of God or we're serving something else. One of the two. And you're going to serve something. Someone says, well, you know, I think it's more important to have a little more money, or I think it's more important to whatever. You're going to serve something with your whole life. You're always going to be serving something. You can serve God or you can serve sin is what it comes down to. Who are we? That's what they wanted to know. You know what the world wants to know? Who are we? And what's sad, too many times, we're not what we say we are. Be authentic. Amen? Be a servant of God and be willing to say it. They said, we're the servants of God. And they were. And they were working to prove it. Secondly, are we willing to be identified with God? I've talked about that quite a lot. But do others know that we're serving? Are we willing to identify with Him? Do people see you and say, that guy's a Christian? Do the students at your school say, that teenager's a Christian? They might pick on you because of it, but that's okay. God will reward you for that. Do our co-workers know that we're Christians? Amen? You haven't got to wear it on your sleeve. You haven't got to wear a 6-inch cross on your lapel. But the way you act and talk and especially when you witness to people, they'll know you're a Christian. And I've told you before, it doesn't hurt to put a sign on the wall sometimes just to kind of give them an idea. Now, here's the question in verse 5. I've already talked about this one too, but we'll repeat it. Are the eyes of God upon you? Amen? What do they see? The inference here is not just that God is watching. It's sort of like this. If you were to take a child to the park, you see children doing this all the time. They're in the park and they're playing, and they're, I saw this little girl in a big bunch of sand, and she's doing this. I can't stand to even think about that. And sand in the hair, sand in the clothes, sand in everything. So nobody was very close to her, obviously, but not too far away. Mom, grandma, somebody's watching. Why? They have their eyes on that child to make sure they don't get hurt. If that child takes off for the street, or if the dog comes in, or if another person comes along, the person with the eyes on them will suddenly be right there to take care of them. You think God's eyes are on us? Not just out of curiosity, not just out of surveillance, not just to see if we don't do it right, but a better thing, watching us to take care of us. Amen? Do you realize that? I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago. They were talking about, you know, being at ease or at peace about something. You know, you could be worried about it or you can be at peace about it. You can be worried about your tests because you didn't study, but maybe you're at peace because you did and you trust God. You're in the hospital, you're in the emergency room, and you could be having a heart attack, but you're at peace because you trust God. And you thank God. God, thank you for letting me have a situation where I can get help when I need it. There's people that don't have that. We do. Then the fourth question, real quick. Would somebody write a letter to try to stop what you're doing? Would someone write a letter to try to stop what you're doing? You know what the devil likes? When we stop serving God and we serve something else. And he ain't going to try to stop you if you're doing that. He'll just let you go because that's where he wants you anyway. Why try to stop you? But what if you're doing something for God? You know what's going to happen? The devil's going to try to stop you. And you're going to see the same experience that these people saw right here, which is, it's a good thing God's eyes are on you because of that, they can't stop you. Amen? And don't give up. If you give up like they did in the previous chapter, you're at fault. God sent the prophets and said, hey, look at this. Let's go back to work. And they did. It's a good lesson. I like this. The letter to the king turns out to be, it's kind of a good thing. I'm going to tell you the secret. In the next chapter, Darius says, hey, we looked. And oh yeah, Cyrus said build. Do you know why Cyrus said build? Because before he was even born, Isaiah said, a king named Cyrus is going to command the rebuilding of God's house. And when God said it, that's all that matters. That's all the authority we need. Amen? Well, one of these days we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope he doesn't have to ask who we are. Wouldn't that be terrible? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Are you saved? Amen? If you're saved, you haven't got to worry about that one. But wouldn't it be sad if you had to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ one day, who still has the nail prints in his hands and still has the hole in his side? Wouldn't it be sad to stand in front of the one that died for your sins and say, yes, Lord, thank you for dying for my sins. I didn't serve you with my life. I served something else. It's our choice, isn't it? Amen? So you see, you got everything going for you if you'll decide to be who God wants you to be a servant of God. And if you don't, I don't know how to excuse that. It's a day-by-day decision, amen? Not too late to start. Not too late to start again. Not too late to keep going. Definitely not time to quit. Let's all stand and pray.